Matthew 28. After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were like snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He's not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay." Then she go quickly and tell his disciples, "He has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you." So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly, Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him and collapsed at his feet, worshiping him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me."
Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw them, they worshiped him, and yet still there was doubt. Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all of the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And surely, Jesus promised, I am with you even to the end of the days." So he is alive. He is alive. Yeah. And that changes everything for us, right? And actually, I wanted to recognize real quick as well, got the Dolans who celebrated this by water baptism. Yeah. And also Tori and Nora. So proud of you guys being water baptized. There you go. Yeah. And many others, but they already got recognized, so no more for you. But no, because Jesus lives, everything changes. Not even death is the end for us. Even death brings a degree of life and hope. Because I don't know about you all, but there are days when I'm ready to leave this broken down world corrupted by sin behind, right? To be with the Lord where he makes all things new. The new order of things where there's no more death or sickness or mourning or tears. But the awesome part is that doesn't have to begin that day when he calls us home. Eternal life begins the day we put our faith in Jesus. The very moment that we put our faith in him. So because he lives, we have hope. Because he lives, we are certain that whatever hardships we face in this lifetime, those hardships are not our final destiny. He's going to work even them together for good. Because he lives, we have confidence that our best days of our lives are still yet ahead of us. Still ahead of us. Because he lives, we're never alone. We're never alone. He is always with us and for us. You have an advocate like no other as we walk through this life. In fact, we're going to continue this story because you can't just even end with the empty cross and the empty grave. After Jesus suffered, he presented himself to them, as we just read. He presented himself to Mary and Mary in their suffering. He himself was with them. He presented himself and gave them many convincing proofs that he was alive. He wanted there to be no shadow of any doubt that he had defeated the grave. He had defeated sin. So he showed up on many different occasions in the flesh, after his death. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days. And spoke about the kingdom of God. He's taking them from kingdom to kingdom. We got dual citizenship, if you don't know. We didn't have to, you know, jump over no border to get it either. We are citizens of heaven and citizens of this amazing country here in the United States of America. Dual citizenship, it's so cool. And you get the freedom and the liberty of both. Jesus said on one, and it said that on one occasion, Jesus was eating with them. He gave them this command. He said, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait. Wait for the gift my Father has promised. You've heard me talk all about it. For John baptized you with water. In a few days, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. This same promise that Jesus gave before his death on the cross. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commands. Keep my commands. I'll ask the Father, and he will give you an advocate to help you. I will ask the Father, and he will give you one to be with you forever. The Spirit of truth. The world can't accept him. Neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him. For he lives. He lives. He lives with you. He's going to be with you. Jesus said, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Very truly, I tell you that it is for your own good that I go away. And anyone who has suffered loss knows how confusing that statement had to be. How can it be good to lose someone that you love? In the disciples' case, someone that they gave up everything to follow. How can it be good to lose everything I sacrificed for? But Jesus said, it is because unless I go away, the advocate cannot come to you. But if I go, I'll send him to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you're going to see me. And because I live, you also will live. Because Jesus is alive forever, so also will we live with him. We get to reign in victory with him. We've been given authority with him. We've not been abandoned as orphans. We are children of God, literally adopted into his family. We've been filled with his very presence through the Holy Spirit. Jesus gave his life on the cross to take upon himself the punishment and the penalty for every one of our sins. He didn't sugarcoat them. He didn't brush them under the rug. He didn't redefine sin as something that it's not. He called it out, but it says that he was crushed so that we might be forgiven. Cursed so that we might be blessed. Died that we might live. Pierced for our transgressions. Crushed for our iniquities. But the punishment that was upon him brought us peace. And of course, we love that last part of Isaiah 53. And by his wounds, we are what? Healed. Jesus endured a time of pain and suffering, but those weren't his destiny. It was just a time. It was just a season. It was not the end. And so it is with us who choose to follow him. In fact, Paul writes in 2 Corinthians, he says, therefore, we don't lose heart. There's only one reason that we don't lose heart, and it's because he lives. He lives, our living hope. Though outwardly we may waste away, inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes, not on what is seen, but we fix our eyes on what is unseen in hope. Since what is seen is temporary, it's all going to pass away. But what is unseen is eternal and will endure forever. That same Spirit that rose Jesus Christ from the grave dwells in you and I who have chosen to follow Christ. That same Spirit that was hovering over the waters at the beginning, who brought about creation, lives in us, has chosen us as his temple. That same Spirit who emboldened and empowered and equipped the first believers to perform all kinds of signs, wonders, and miracles to point people to Jesus dwells in you and I. So now we have a choice in how to live our lives. That's what Romans 8 teaches us. Those who live according to the flesh, because this is the struggle and the struggle is real, Those who live according to the flesh, who have their mind set on whatever the flesh desires. Those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. Spirit, flesh. Me, 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 or Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God, doesn't submit to God, nor can it. Those who are in the realm of the flesh can't even please God. You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh. You're in the realm of the Spirit, because the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone doesn't have the Spirit, well, they don't belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit within gives life because of righteousness. And the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you. And He will give life to your mortal body because of the Spirit who dwells in you. It's an incredible reality this day. Not only did Jesus raise from the grave, alive forevermore at the right hand of the Father, interceding for us, defending us before the accuser, He also sent that same Spirit, the Advocate, to dwell within us, that we are not alone. We have the Holy Spirit as a guide, as a power, as a strength, as an equipper, that we've got no excuse. We can live godly lives because He's done everything to make it possible to do so. It's an incredible reality. That same resurrection power is available to us. It's accessible to us. And think about that. Life can't get any worse than being dead, right? I mean, you can't get any more hopeless. Hopeless. You can't hit a lower rock bottom low than to be dead. However, not even death can stop the Spirit of the one true living God. He's all powerful. Nothing is impossible for Him. And therefore, nothing is impossible for us who believe in Him, who follow Him. Nothing can stop those who follow Jesus. Now, that doesn't mean there aren't going to be hardships and opposition, but that does mean that you're going to get victory over every single one. Right? Paul described it this way. We have this power, this treasure in jars of clay to show that it's not from us, it's from God. Right? We're just a bunch of crackpots, you know? There's nothing special about us. What is special about us is what's in us, right? The Spirit of the living God who raised Jesus Christ from the grave, that resurrection power. In fact, Paul described it this way in 2 Corinthians 4, this all-surpassing power, it's from God, not from us. And he was pretty blunt and honest about his reality. He said, we're hard-pressed on every side. Anybody ever feel that way? Life goes from, you know, you're one step forward, five steps back in life. You're hard-pressed, but you're not crushed. You're persecuted. You know, people like to talk, and man, do they love to share bad news, whether it's true or not, you know, juicy gossip. You're persecuted, but you're not abandoned. You got the Spirit of truth who knows all things with you. You may be struck down, but you're not destroyed. Because we always carry in our bodies these two paradigms. The death of Jesus, but also the life of Jesus. So that the life may be revealed through us. So because He lives, we also live. And we get to express that He is alive. Because all that we are and all that we can do is a result of He who lives and not ourselves. Eternal life begins that very moment that you choose to receive His free gift of salvation. The very moment that we say, yes, Lord, to Jesus. At that time, that same Spirit who raised Jesus Christ from the grave lives in us. He decides to hang out with you, to live life with you. He empowers us, He equips us, He encourages us, He guides us, and so much more. If, It's a big little word. If we choose to follow him, if we choose to surrender to him, doesn't mean you're not going to struggle to do it. Jesus struggled. Father, if there's any other way, in the Garden of Gethsemane, you know, let it be done, but yet not my will, but yours be done. If we choose the will of God, whew, I mean, look what happens. Jesus went through a tough season, tougher than any of us could ever face in this lifetime. But can you imagine the look on the enemy's face and all of his fallen angels? Oh, man, they thought they had won. They thought they had won. It should cause us to laugh because he who sits in the heaven laughs about it. Woo, what a slap in the face when the enemy is defeated by his own victory, right? So today and every day, let's choose to live a full and abundant life led by the Spirit of the living God. Let's choose to allow the resurrection power of God to raise us up to a new life. Let's let him do it. Let's choose each and every day to make the most of every opportunity and to live the best days of our lives. After all, if I could have the worship team come forward, what does Psalm 118, 24 tell us? This is the day that the Lord has made. So what are we going to do? Let's rejoice and be glad in it, right? God has made this day. And it may not be full of good stuff right now, but right now we're going to hand everything over to him. The good, the bad, the ugly, the indifferent, because we know because the tomb is empty what God can do. Even your worst day doesn't have to end and be your worst day, right? Oh, when we hand it over to God, look what God can do. He can raise us even from death to life. He's got the power and the authority to do so. And it's his joy. It's his joy to do it for you and I, his children. To perform signs, wonders, and miracles. What a glorious day that made it all possible. All because Jesus is alive.